Men, if you're ready to reclaim your edge, listen up. I used to be held back by constant bathroom trips, with multiple wake-ups during my sleep and looking for restrooms whenever I was out. Then I discovered Better Man. After just 2 months, I started experiencing fewer trips to the bathroom, less urge to go, and I even slept through some nights. I feel a noticeable boost in my overall well-being, even sexual stamina. It gives me the freedom and confidence to live life on my terms. Better Man is clinically tested and trusted by thousands of men over 25 years. Ready to take back control? Go to BeBetterNow.com to order your supply today. That's BeBetterNow.com.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed. Individual results may vary.
Come on in.
I'm Lainey.
And I'm Laura Beth.
And we are Steel Magnolias.
Two sisters who love family, traditions, and all things Southern.
We've got plenty of room at our table, so pull up a chair.
Hey, Lainey.
Hi, Laura Beth.
Well, I am still in a hard cast, so shopping is not an easy thing these days.
Well, and that's too bad because Father's Day's coming up and it's almost Christmas in July sales that are happening.
Oh, yes. So, it's been a challenge. I did, because I am a member of the Crown Rewards of Hallmark.
Because I got you signed up.
Because you told me to.
That's an amazing program.
I get free shipping. So I've ordered the Father's Day card. It has arrived.
Okay. I didn't know you could get free shipping though, because I always go into the store. So well, that's awesome.
Now I've just kept you from spending more gas money.
That's true.
So I've gotten to dad a Father's Day card, but haven't landed on the gift idea.
Well, good for you. Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, if y'all aren't, we're not getting paid to say this, but if you're not in the Crown Rewards program at your Hallmark, they do a lot of specials. In fact, since February, they've been doing what they call Free Card Friday. So you can get a free card every Friday. I don't know if they would ship it to you, though.
I've never gotten that. I've never done that.
Because
so
I think you do have to go in stores, I think,
for that.
Which, because of COVID-19, they were closed for March and April and most of May. So I've gotten a couple of them since February. But yeah, that's an awesome program. So
fun. And then another sale I will not get to participate in June, but it is a great one. There is a company out of Marietta, Georgia. Mm-hmm. I think you pronounce it Glory House.
Yeah, it's spelled funny, though. It's not house like you would think house. It's
H-A-U-S.
Yeah, Glory House.
Glorious, so they Glory House. Do all these fun Christmas decorations, collegiate gear, different things like that. I would say mostly like for the kitchen or the, like there's all different tea towels and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Real cutesy handwriting.
If you know, you know. Like you, if you have a Christmas ornament from this group,
you probably are,
you
like,
know them.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
They do a warehouse sale. It's coming up this week, actually, Wednesday, June 17th from 12 to 8, and then Thursday the 19th, it's a longer day. It is from...
Did you say this was Marietta, Georgia? Okay, good.
8 to 2 on Thursday.
Okay.
Bring your own bags. They don't have any bags for you. They have a few carts, but you may or may not get a cart. So just know that that's an issue.
BYOB bag.
That's right.
Yeah.
But really good prices. Very significantly marked down. Lots of cute things.
I wish we were in Georgia this week.
I know. So
that's a good one, though, if you're in the area, for sure.
Or want to drive to the area. It's true. A good sale.
Yeah. Well, lucky, lucky us. We are at the table. Not just with ourselves today, but with a guest. We are so excited to introduce you guys to our new friend,
yes.
Laura Roberts. Laura was introduced to me actually from someone I went to high school with that she is related to.
That's right.
And I just was so excited to get to know you because thankfully Sarah, shout out to Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
She recognized that we would be kindred spirits.
She did.
And in the just couple instances that we've gotten to spend time together, she was right.
We certainly are.
Yes. Yes. Right. So we invited Laura here today to talk about linens, as she has a wealth of knowledge in all things Southern, but we wanted her to focus on linens today just because that's a particular, I would say, passion area of hers.
It is.
So before we jump into all that, Laura, why don't you just tell our guests a little bit about you? You're obviously here in the Nashville area because you're here with us at the table. Right. So we didn't fly you in for this one.
No. First class. Yeah. First class and hotel accommodations to fly in. No. I live right here in Nashville. I have lived in Middle Tennessee since 1997. I married a Tennessee boy. I grew up in Mississippi. I'm a seventh generation Mississippian.
Wow.
But I married a Tennessee boy who grew up right around the corner from where we are recording here in downtown Franklin.
Okay.
So sweet.
I know it is. Downtown Franklin is just so charming.
It is. Yeah. We've had several people, even if they had an awareness to Franklin before listening to the show, we've convinced them now to come.
Yes. Well, y'all should all come.
Yeah.
You will love Franklin. And Nashville is great, too. Everything about Middle Tennessee is great. We have just these beautiful rolling hills, and there's just so much to love about this area. So if you are not from around here, you should...
Y'all come. Right. Well, if y'all can't tell her voice, we thought even just for that reason alone, we could have Laura come and talk about anything.
Read the phone book. There's a stereotypical kind of expression where you could read the phone book.
But you do love all things Southern. You are a collector of many things, specifically linens.
Yes, that is one of my favorite things.
Just talk to us a little bit about maybe how you first got interested in linens, kind of what drew you to that, and anything else that kind of,
caught your eye.
Yeah. Well, so part of why I'm probably so interested in linens is I am the only female in my home. I have a husband and two boys. Mm-hmm. I have a 15-year-old and a 20-year-old. So I'm the only lady in my home. So I don't have anybody else to girly things up with.
Yes.
So I think that's one thing one reason why I gravitate toward Southern things and these things that you think of as very stereotypical. Typically feminine.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I love those sorts of things because I don't get to share that with anybody. So I have to just do it all for myself. It's like playing Barbies by yourself, you know?
I did that.
I know. So I inherited linens from my grandmother and a great aunt and an aunt.
Okay.
Just a mishmash of some better than others, some kind of those funky 1960s Vera printed linens, some kind of not so posh, but maybe hand embroidered linens, more kitchen linens, kitchen towels, all the way to really fine jacquard, beautiful damask linens with hand monograms.
Wow.
And for the longest time, I never used them. They just sat, you know, my mother gave it all to me. And now that she's gone, I have the remainder of everything. And for the longest time, they just sat in a box in a plastic bin. And I will talk about plastic bins in a little bit. I have a lot of thoughts on plastic bins.
Okay.
We will get to that down the road in talking about linens, but I'd kept them in plastic bins and never used them. And the stains just stayed. They stayed folded as they had been folded when they were given to me. And at some point in time, I guess just to metaphorically play with Barbies, because I had Legos and Transformers when my kids were little, you know, all that stuff around, I think I just decided to get them out to start looking at them and sorting them and seeing what to do with them.
Yeah.
And it really just kind of flowed from there because I had to educate myself on how to care for... The first step was just, how do I get the stains out? How do I wash them?
Yeah.
Well, then that starts kind of a domino effect of other questions that you end up having. Well, then how do I iron them after that? And how do I store them after I've ironed them? And how do I... et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So I had to just teach myself, and I'm by no means an expert. I don't have any training in historical antiquities or anything like that, Southern decorative arts or anything of that nature. I'm just kind of a home-trained person.
I love it.
But I've just learned a lot, and now I love to collect and buy more, and I've added so many more linens and so many more than just napkins and hand towels. I've added all kinds of stuff to my collection. So
wow.
Well, I love that. And I love that you're saying that you don't have maybe a degree in something like that. But I see some pretty large books that you've read on your own that you brought over to show us.
Yes.
So sometimes that's the most fun
for sure.
person to talk to, because they don't have the snobbery, if you will, of just being a know-it-all
That's
about
true.
A subject.
That's
but
right.
You do
and
know a lot.
But I'm always willing to learn more, and I love talking to dealers, places, and that's one thing I'll always say. Anytime you're shopping somewhere and you're talking to a dealer, ask them, start picking their brains. Most antique dealers love to share what they know. They love that you're interested in what they know. That's where I've
so
learned
true.
A lot of what
yeah.
I've learned also, is just talking to at like the Nashville Antiques and Garden Show, or a dealer just at a booth or at a small antique mall or something like that. If you happen to see them, talk to them. They're not proprietary about their information. They
That's
love
so true.
That you are complimenting them on what they have in their space. They're flattered and love that.
Yes.
And if you just say, how do I, what do I do with these once I get them home? What should I, if lipstick gets on them, are they ruined?
Yeah.
They love to be able to say, absolutely not. You need to do blank, buy blank. And they'll just fill you up with knowledge.
That's
so
true.
Always
we'll just
ask.
Tap into your brain.
I love to
I
ask.
Have some questions too.
Okay, great. Well, I'll just pass on what I've learned.
I'm curious kind of to know, from Lainey or from your perspective, like, what do you usually think of when you think of linens? Because I want to make sure I'm kind of on the same page too. Like, fabric wise, are you, what's your initial?
Yeah, that's a great question. I am thinking, when I hear the word linens, I'm thinking of like higher quality, kitchen, bath, and bedroom fabrics.
Cotton.
So it could be true linen, which is made from flax.
Correct.
But it could also be cotton to me.
Or silk.
I'm lumping things like
that. I have a beautiful silk tablecloth that I bought at an estate sale. So
I'm not really talking about the lovely true. Hester and Cook paper. I'm talking about the lovely fabrics.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I reference linens, I mean all of it. For me personally, I'm talking about just anything that's fabric.
Yeah. Okay.
Doesn't matter the material. Now, I will say I really don't buy anything that has synthetic fabrics in it. I'm not a fan of a napkin with a synthetic fabric. So everything I've got is a natural fabric.
Yeah.
Okay.
So when I personally am talking about linens, I just mean anything fabric. I have linens. I have cotton linens.
Yes.
I have silk. And then you can have some that are a mixture of one or more of those. And, you know, I don't know how I'd even know that necessarily. I know that the tablecloth that I've got, I know is silk, but, you know, some could be a linen-cotton blend, and I might not know it. But
have you experimented at all with bamboo linens?
I have not.
Okay. So that's kind of a new hot thing.
It is a new hot thing.
And it's real eco-friendly.
Okay.
Because it grows
fast. It's so
fast.
Renewable.
So
that makes sense.
That's, you know, why it's so eco-friendly.
Any Southerner that's ever had, you know, we've all got, it may have been in your yard, or I guess it's not just Southerners, but I feel like I see this a lot in the South. On the perimeter of somebody's property, you see bamboo going wild. And the dad or the mom or whoever loves to do the gardening is always out there fighting with that bamboo because it's going to take over.
It grows so fast.
And
they don't use
renewable.
Pesticide on it. So that's another reason it's real eco-friendly. So I have mentioned before some sheets that I use in my massage room that are bamboo. And the beautiful thing is oil comes out real easy.
Oh.
So I love them for that.
That's right.
But still my favorite is linen or cotton.
Yeah.
For bed linens, I would like to try the linens.
Mm-hmm.
You don't iron them. They look very kind of slubby. And, I mean, it's more for probably a modern home, because I guess they might look a little more kind of unkempt because they're linen.
Yeah.
Sure.
I guess you could iron them if you wanted. But,
it would last for one day.
That's right. I've seen them at Restoration Hardware and places like that. But I'm sure you can order them from Amazon. And I know a million places have linen sheets. But that is one thing that you won't probably, I assume I would never find vintage or antique king size sheets, because
that's so true.
You know, I'm sure there were very large beds, a few, but essentially they were kind of what we think of as full size,
yes,
or three quarter size. I have a bed in my home that's a three quarter size. I had to have a mattress custom made for it
because
they weren't standardizing sizes back then.
Yeah.
So modern linens don't fit on it great. It's because it's bigger than twin, but it's a little smaller than full size. I've always heard it called three quarter.
I have.
Maybe somebody else knows.
I
guess it's three quarters of a full size bed. Maybe I just now thought about it. I've never even thought about why it might be called that, but I bet that's why. So I've just always heard them called like a three-quarter bed. So I do have to use modern linens. Now, for a full size, you could find vintage and old. And the quality of that old cotton, I will say, for sheets, I don't know if I'm jumping ahead what y'all wanted to talk about. I love buying antique bed linens and use them where I can.
That's awesome.
So typically that's going to be more of like in the full size range.
Yeah.
But the pillowcases, I mean, just that a lot of it is just really fine imported Egyptian cotton.
Yeah.
And they have no labels. You'd never know it because it was before they, you know, Wham, Sutton, Canon and whatever stitched in labels. It predates that. You're talking the 30s, 40s, 50s, you know. But the quality of that cotton, there is nothing like it. I mean, you go in and touch modern linens, and they don't hold a candle.
I'm sure. So the first thing I'm thinking of then is, okay, you find this beautiful set out at a sale. You got to bring it home and wash it, right?
Correct.
So talk to us maybe a little bit about maybe just an initial wash. You're just wanting clean, and then maybe talk about maybe some stain sort of methods that you've come across.
So initial wash, just put it in your washing machine. I have got several products that I use.
Okay.
Tell us about those.
Oh, yes. All right. And you can get them off of Amazon. So I've got two that are really my favorite. One is called Restoration.
Okay.
And I guess it comes in a little plastic canister. It's a powder. And the other is called Retro Clean, and it is also a powder. I've ordered both from Amazon.
Okay.
But you may be able to find them other places.
Are they both like a liquid soap?
They're powder.
Powder.
They're
powder.
Both powder.
Okay. Okay.
They're both powder. So for anything that's old, vintage or antique, when I put it into the clothes washer, I use that.
Okay.
I don't use my regular.
Okay.
Whatever. And I will do just a first wash just to see what happens. I mean, obviously you want it to be washed, even if it were pristine and unstained, you obviously want it washed anyway. So just go through the machine with a first wash.
Okay.
And then...
Are we talking like gentlest cycle possible?
Gentlest. Okay. Gentlest. Okay. And I will tell you the other thing, I would love to have a clothesline.
Yeah.
I do not use my dryer for very much anymore these days.
Okay. It's terrible for
it is terrible
for these things.
It's terrible for linens.
I'm saying I'm reading because I always do them in
it
the
is.
Dryer.
It's very hard on them. But, you know, once I started, and here's where I'm saying the dominoes start falling. You know, once I started thinking about how hard it is on linens, vintage linens, I thought, well, but why would I want my nice tops or something like that? I mean, it's hard on just expensive leggings that you paid a lot of money, you know.
Yeah.
Just
it's true.
It's very hard. The dryer is very hard on clothing. So I now have all of these fancy drying racks.
Yes.
They're like gigantic. They're like wings. You
I
flap
love
them
it.
Up and I dry probably 80 to 90% air dry of my wash these days, not just linens. I still will air dry. I mean, I still will put in the machine, you know, socks and foundation garments and that sort of thing. But most clothing, I air dry.
Do you think your neighbors would just, like, scratch their
head
if you
had an HOA, so they probably would enjoy.
I was thinking.
But, you know, I would love to just show them. And, you know, you can go into any Martha Stewart where she talks about linens. And Martha Stewart has fancy clotheslines at all of her properties. But I don't think my HOA would appreciate it.
I think there's nothing prettier I may be crazy, but I think there's nothing prettier than sheets flapping in the wind.
I agree.
On a clothesline.
True.
I agree.
It's so pretty to me.
Well, and it kind of irons them because the weight, and that's another thing. You have to be, if you're going to air dry linens, it needs to, if you were going to hang it on a line like that, you need to make sure you tend to want to dry it flat. So what I'll do is I'll take out a white sheet, and this kind of goes back into the cleaning. I'll put a white sheet out on the grass, and I'll put my linens out flat.
Oh.
Because when they're wet, the weight would
pull.
And so if it has that little fine hand embroidery or trims, you might weaken those threads. And so you kind of accelerate its life expectancy if you were to hang them out on a clothesline. Okay. We do idealize that. But sheets, I think you could do it on. But smaller things, I lay out flat.
Okay. That makes sense.
Well, and there's a beautiful thing that the sun does with smell, too.
Yes. So
just freshening things.
I love sun bleaching. That is definitely part of cleaning linens.
Okay.
I don't really do that for clothes. I just put them on one of those drying racks that I buy off of Amazon for clothing. But for antique linens, you know, hand towels, placemats, napkins, pillowcases, that sort of thing, I first of all take out, you can buy just an old king size sheet if you don't have one at Goodwill. Just put it out on the grass on a sunny day stretch all those linens out, everything from a hanky, which I use hankies, again, to talk about linens. I use little linen handkerchiefs as intended.
Do you
I
really?
Keep them in my purse use them instead of Kleenex. And I've bought so many over the years, you know, if they get stained or you give it away, you know, you can buy them. You know, you see them in an antique mall for $3 or $4 or $5, but you can get them in a estate sale for 50 cents or a dollar a piece.
Yeah.
And, so I'll just wash those. So everything from hankies to bigger linen items, you just put that sheet out on your grass on a sunny day, and then you just lay all of those linens out on top of that sheet.
Brilliant. So
and
brilliant.
And the sun just bleaches down.
Just works it.
And it kind of irons them, and it sun bleaches them, and sun bleaching is definitely part of cleaning linens, in my opinion.
Absolutely. And it's funny, we even copy, you know, there's all these candles out there that are fresh cotton.
Yes.
And they're trying to copy the smell. Just put your things out in the sun.
That's right. Just put them out there and you can get that.
So what do you do if you, whether you had it at your own home and you had a spill, or you inherited, or you purchased something?
Or I've washed it. I've done the first wash and I see that the stain didn't come out.
Yeah.
So let's say I bought some napkins. I washed them in my washing machine. I've put them out to dry. They've sun bleached, but they're still stains. I haven't really done anything extra to them. So my process then, I get a big stock pot. I've got a big gumbo pot because I make gumbo every Thanksgiving Eve.
Future episode, spoiler alert.
Oh, that's a future episode. Just talking about gumbo can be a whole episode if you're into Southern cuisine. But I have a really large gumbo pot because I serve 20-plus people every Thanksgiving Eve for gumbo.
Love it.
So you boil water, but I don't want to put them in boiling water because I don't want it to be too hard on them. So you bring it to a boil, turn it off, and let it start cooling.
Okay.
And then that's when I would put in my retro clean, and I'm going to go back to retro clean or restoration, one of those.
Okay.
But it's going to be more concentrated because it's a smaller amount of water.
Yeah.
And you go ahead and dilute that in there. Put it in after
Put it in before I drop
the
linens.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Right before. Uh-huh.
Okay.
So let it fully dissolve, but it's not boiling anymore. You've let it cool maybe, 15 or 20 minutes, something like that. I just don't want it to be a hard boil because that can be hard on fabric too.
Thread, yeah.
So, but I still want it to be pretty hot because that will help.
Mm-hmm.
So put that restoration in or the retro clean and you just drop them in there. And it is amazing how you start seeing stains almost immediately in the water. That water looks murky.
Wow.
Almost instantaneously.
Wow.
I know. It's so satisfying. It is just, the things that make us happy, you know?
It's so true.
It is so satisfying.
A hard day's work right there.
I tell you, oh my gosh. There are people that are driving around listening to this and they're thinking, who on earth have they got here?
Now, this may be a dumb question, but do you do, like, let's say you have 3 stained items. Do you do them all one at a time?
Oh, good question.
Can you put 3 stained things in there?
I just put them all in together.
Okay.
Yeah. I just put them all in together.
Assuming they're at least similar in color. Right. You wouldn't put, obviously, a...
Correct. So, then I start, once they've soaked, I really want that to soak until it's, the water's cool, until you can really stick your hand down in there. And then the process is just, I hand rinse it kind of like an agitator would, just under the water, just in my hand, and rinse it out. And I go back to the sun bleaching, and I do that whole process again. Okay. And hopefully, that will get the stains out.
Okay. Well, that's good to know.
Yep.
Well, you're a strong proponent of use the linens.
Use, yes.
Right? So, I was reading on a blog you recently wrote about how you've been using some of your bathroom towel linens.
Yes.
And not just for when family's around, but I mean really putting it out for your guests.
Yes.
Right?
So in some of the linens that I inherited, it was a stack of maybe 2 dozen hand towels of varying. Some were white with little embroidered flowers or monograms. Some were colored and kind of had little floral sprays, little colored floral sprays on them. Different things. Some were really large, some were quite a bit smaller. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what the difference is between, you know, you see on a registry, you see hand towel and fingertip towel. I assume fingertip towel is smaller.
Yeah.
But anyway, so they're all different sizes. And so it struck me, you know, you go into someone's home, and I did this for years too, and never really thought about it. You have people over, you entertain 20 people.
Yeah.
And you go, but you go into someone's home and you wash your hands after leaving the powder room, you know, on your way out, and there's that towel there. That's
Laura's facial expression just kind of turned down a little bit. Yeah. That towel.
And it's sitting there kind of crumpled and plainly damp. And this was before COVID and people were really spooked about germs even more so. But I would go in to someone's bathroom and you'd think, you know, and I'd kind of just
shake my hands dry.
And so, or you would go in and you would see a beautiful linen, monogrammed, antique-looking hand towel,
yes,
pristine there, and you would
hate to be
the person to crack the seal on
Absolutely.
It. And like, oh, I hate to.
They have ironed that.
I'm not wiping my hands on it.
Yeah.
So, one of the most obvious solutions is those, the paper ones you see.
Right.
And you can get those, you can order them from Caspari, monogrammed, and they come in 1,000 very chic patterns, and I've done that. And that's great. But it occurred to me, I thought, why am I not putting out a gigantic stack of hand towels? So I started buying more and more and more. And again, retail, it's kind of like the hankies. You would expect to pay at an antique mall $3 to $5, $6, $8 mm-hmm. for an old hand towel. If it's, you know, something larger and French, you might pay even more, but you know, typically that would be what you would pay. But in an estate sale, they're $1 each. And if you go on the last day of the estate sale, half price day, even cheaper.
Yes.
So I started buying and buying and buying. And I have now a stack of what must be at least, is that 50? Don't
I'd
y'all think?
50.
I brought them out of my powder room for them to see. There must
and
be,
I love that they're not all the same.
They're like, not all the same.
Makes it
some
so
of
much
them are
fun.
Quite large. Some of them are very small. There's white, there's butter yellow, Wedgwood
They're
blue,
so pretty.
Mint green. Some have monograms, some don't.
Some have monograms that are not Laura's monogram.
Oh, most
y'all.
Of them are not my monogram at all. I buy them. But you know those hand monograms, you look at them, and I tell you, when you're at an estate sale or an antique mall or garage sale, wherever, flip that napkin over and look on the back. And that's where you can really tell the difference between a machine monogram and hand monogram, because you can see where the threads have kind of crossed over, and you flip it over and you look
yes.
where somebody's done the leaves. I mean, and you just, it's yeah. not perfect, and you don't want it to be perfect because it shows that it's bespoke. It's not a machine, because a machine does things perfectly. But when you find something that's done by hand, it's just so charming.
That is so true.
It really is. So I love, I'll buy them that aren't my monogram at all. And you know, they are conversation starters. You know, so sometimes people will come out of my powder room at a party and they'll say, oh my gosh, I just got a hand towel that was my grandmother's initials. I literally had that conversation about a year ago when I was entertaining. So it's just fun and sweet. And so what I do when I'm about to have people over is I will dampen the first one and throw it in a little waste basket that I've got there right by the sink so that I've kind of salted the pot.
Brilliant.
So that they know.
Truly.
They know. I think that they would know by seeing the stack, but that definitely tells them
this
you're
is
supposed
okay.
to take one, you know, and throw it away, you know. And then, now you do, it does take more time afterwards. Now, I don't wash linens every week or iron them every week. I do enjoy ironing too, and that's, we'll get to that in a minute, but sometimes I save them up a month or two.
Yeah.
Particularly ones like that that don't have stains because all they've
there's
done
not
is
oil
gotten,
sitting
not
in
oil,
it. Or,
you know,
yeah.
They haven't been in a, you know, a coal mine or anything like that. They just dried clean hands.
Yeah.
So they shouldn't have any stains. So I'll just wash them immediately after, but I have a basket in my laundry room of things to be ironed and I'll just get to them eventually.
Yeah.
And I do that once every few months. I'll go through and iron.
Do you just do all your linens at once?
I do.
Ironing?
I do.
Okay.
Well, you know what? I mean, even though it's mostly we're doing this for charm and for the story that it tells, but it's even better for the environment if you're
it's
not
true.
Throwing a bunch
it's
of paper
way better for the
and
environment.
Stuff in the trash.
Absolutely.
All, you know, collecting old things in general is far better for the environment because you're not buying something that's been shipped to a store. It was...
In
the natural
box,
resources,
in the wrap,
right, that's right. The natural resources that it took to make it were made a long time ago. And so, yeah, there's no shipping. There's no, you know, you don't have to wonder, like, if it was made abroad, what were the practices in the factory like? You don't have to worry about things
that's
like that.
That's a real thing now.
It
wow.
is.
That is
so
true.
You know, you really eliminate that. And if that's something that you care about, that's definitely one of the major things, benefits of buying something like old linens.
Wow.
Now, I have a question. Do you use vinegar at all?
I do.
I've heard of people doing that, but...
Vinegar is great for reducing odors in everything.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I keep a spray bottle of vinegar. Sometimes, if I think a hand towel has gotten, you know, a little musty smell, you can just spray some vinegar on it and put it out in the sun.
Okay.
And sun bleach
Somebody
that.
Spills gravy on the... tablecloth.
That's right.
Might
you
be
can
a good
some,
thing.
And I have several things that I try. I use OxyClean also sometimes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I've got all kinds of things that, and of course, one of my all-time favorite products is it's a bar of soap. You've probably seen it at the grocery store. It's usually way up high because most people don't use it. It's called Fels Naphtha. And I'm assuming that's how you pronounce it.
Okay.
F-E-L-S hyphen N-A-P-T-H-A, I think is how you spell it.
Okay.
Fels Naphtha. And it's a bar of soap. It's large. And it's kind of yellow in color. It is a magician for removing stains. So what
I've
I do
never
is
even noticed this.
Fels Naphtha.
I'm getting it.
Well, I used to make my own clothes wash with Fels Naphtha soap, 20 Mule Team Borax, and Arm & Hammer Super Washing Powder. I don't use that anymore because they say, I'm not sure you're supposed to use it for HE machines. And I do have an HE machine.
Okay.
But I want a Speed Queen for my next set.
I've heard that's the way to
go. I want that next. But anyway, we're getting to that. We'll get there. So you just wet that bar of Fels Naphtha soap and just rub it on anything that has a stain. Antique, modern, doesn't matter.
Okay.
And then throw it in. And it's better than, I think it's better than any of the stain removing sprays, and I don't use bleach at all or
fabric softener. Okay.
Yeah,
I've heard those are not.
I think they're a little
the way
too
to
rough.
Go.
Yeah.
Too rough.
So.
And hot dryers, like she mentioned, weaken fabric. It
they
causes
do.
Shrinkage.
Yep.
It's like, Yeah, many of these things that I do are big no's.
Well, you know, once you go down the rabbit hole, you know, the linen rabbit hole, you start wanting to care for them, you know, like your babies. And then I have this fancy Rowenta steam iron system.
Okay.
And it's very hot, so you need to be careful with it. But I use a Rowenta iron.
Okay.
Martha uses a Rowenta iron. So okay. I did my research. So, okay. Yes.
So that's your go-to.
That's right.
Well, and I'm just thinking, you know, maybe if any of this sounds intimidating, maybe get some stained linens from...
Give it a try.
A garage sale that aren't so...
generations old in your own family.
That's right.
So you're not as...
That's right.
Yeah.
And I tell you, go to Goodwill and always go over to the drapery section. That is a great way to get tons of yardage of sometimes vintage fabrics. Now, sometimes it's just modern fabrics. But if you just need a tablecloth for a, you know, watermelon cutting party that you're going to have outside, then just even modern fabric would be fine. But sometimes you can find, you know, vintage from the 1950s and 60s drapes. Four panels. Well, think of how many yards that is.
Wow.
So if you wanted to turn those into tablecloths, I can sew a little bit. I can sew enough to stitch together two drapery panels.
Yeah.
That's about all I can do. But some of you who sew, or you could give it to a friend who sews to have them finish it all for you. But that's a great way.
Brilliant. That is brilliant.
To turn, you know, vintage. But, you know, you could turn a vintage tablecloth, like a Christmas tablecloth, into a Christmas tree skirt.
Yeah.
Or, you know, so again, even if you can't get stains out of it, still don't throw it away, because you could turn, if it's a Christmas tablecloth, maybe you don't have enough to turn it into a tree skirt, but maybe you could turn it into a stocking and cut out the part that's stained and use your vintage kind of holly printed tablecloth, or maybe it's got holes in it. Now, see, the other thing you got to worry about is storing them.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Talk to us about
those plastic
bins.
Storage is very important. Yes. So, plastic has done many wonderful things for us as a human race. There are people that have knees that are made out of plastic, and I'm sure plastic has saved many a life. But plastic is not the friend of your paper and your linens.
Okay.
Because it doesn't breathe?
It doesn't breathe, and plastic off-gasses. So if you've got old photos, old scrapbooks, do not store them in plastic bins.
So much to do thinking at my about house right now.
Well, Larbeth and I just had eye contact, because that's exactly where my things are.
Yeah, they did. Their eyes just locked, like, oh, no.
Plastic, because it won't let it get wet. But obviously it can't breathe.
That's right. And if you happen to get a moth inside, it would eat it up between then and the next time you got it. And I've heard horror stories of that. Somebody opens up a bin, and somehow a moth had gotten folded in with it. If you happen to clean it, and maybe you didn't thoroughly clean it, you thought you did, or maybe there's a little food on it being in there, all kind of, or if maybe there was heavens a little dampness, those are going to be ruined. By the time you open that bin again, they might be molded or, you know, mildewed.
My goodness, that makes perfect sense.
So plastic is not your friend.
So what do you put yours in?
Well, they don't even know I exist, but I've ordered from them. I will give you all the names if you want to post it. I have several. I did some research. So for me, kind of the gold standard when I was researching was, what do museums do? Like, what would, you know, the Museum of Modern Art and, you know, museums.
Yeah.
What would they consider storage that's appropriate for paper and fabric? So there are several websites that I've found.
Okay.
You can get, basically, essentially, there's acid-free, but there's some other kind of standard that they've got, and I can't remember the name of it. It's like, it needs to be like RD-480 or something verified or something
We'll put a link.
Which means, yes, and I can't remember it off the top of my head, but... And they come in all different sizes, some of them like big wedding dress size all the way down to, and it's for paper and fabric.
Wow.
And that's how you need to store it. But, you know, temperature matters too, so don't keep them in a wet basement.
Sure.
and or a hot attic.
Hot attic is probably the biggest culprit here in the South.
Oh my gosh. So many a hot attic has ruined, you know, you see those curled black and white photos and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So all of that needs to come out of those hot attics and go into an acid-free box from a museum place.
That's right. I was just thinking, you know, we have cold winters and hot, hot, hot summers, and it makes for good bourbon, but not for good storage.
Not for good. Else. It's not a friend to those old pictures or old love letters from World War II from your grandparents and that sort of thing.
Wow.
So the last thing on storage on linens is... And I've seen this quite a bit on ones that I've bought at estate sales. You will find that they are so gauzy thin, the material, and they've been folded. And you find holes along the place where the fold
that
was.
That crease, yeah.
That kind of, I guess it's kind of gotten dry rotted, so to speak. And so you don't want to store napkins folded or any linen folded if you can help it.
Wow. Okay.
Flat is best if possible. So on something small like handkerchiefs, it's easier to do. On some things you may have, I mean, like a large tablecloth, you will have to fold them some.
Right. Yeah.
But you want to reduce it as much as possible. Rolling is best.
Okay. Yeah.
So if
you, of course. Oh my
gosh. So if you had a stack of, you know, you would open them out, hand towels, and just roll them up.
Roll them all.
Yeah. Roll them up.
And then Kondo would be so proud. That's how you're supposed to do
that's
your socks
right.
and things.
She does do that. She all the little undies and little foundation garments are all rolled up.
Yes.
Socks paired so and rolled good. Up. So, yeah.
Well, is there anything else that you would just love to add into the linen discussion? This has been a really, really good education.
I don't
on
think
linens.
So. I just would say get them and use them.
Yes.
And maybe you want, if it's something that was your grandmother's and it was her handkerchief on her wedding day, obviously you're probably not going to use that one, save that. But, you know, otherwise, go out and buy them. Go to those estate sales. They're all a dollar a piece. People are getting rid of them in droves.
Yeah.
And you are, it is more eco-friendly if that's something that interests you at all. They're more charming. They've got
by
more
far.
Character. And I don't know that you can go into a big box store and get a napkin for a dollar. You know,
I don't think so.
I think they're three and four and five and six, you know, and if you go to a Pottery Barn and higher end places, you know, even more.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're budget friendly. They have so much more charm and character, and they're kind of conversation starters when you have people over.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, I just had a couple more thoughts. One was for the people who are intimidated by the thought of they don't know a lot or whatever, just start somewhere. Like, even if you're a minimalist and you don't want to own a bunch of things, just get, you know, one lovely tablecloth.
That's right.
Or
one.
One lovely.
Well,
something.
And if you're really using it, it appeals to a minimalist. You know,
that's
I
right.
tell you, for the bath towels that I use personally, now I don't do this for my husband and sons, they've got regular bath towels, I personally use the old French bath towels that are made out of
do you really
yes
wow
they are so absorbent, they're dreamy.
Yes.
Now they're smaller, you know, than what we think of as an average bath towel today in the modern world, but you do see them around, and I assume they're French, but they could be English or whatever. But they just feel like a dream coming out of a bath or shower. And I have a stack of them. That's what I use for myself for coming out of the bath. So, you know, if you're a minimalist, that's fine. Use them. And they are so much cleaner. You know, you feel like they're really, you know, loop towels. It's like, you know, you start smelling them after a while and it's like,
sure
that's smelling musty.
Yes.
Yes. But a flat weave linen,
nice.
Or cotton,
high-end cotton,
that French towel that's 100 years old with a monogram, use it as it was intended.
That's right.
Out of the bath. So you minimalists don't even have to worry about it because you need bath towels anyway.
That's right.
Yeah.
And the other thing I was thinking is, if you don't know where to start, get your dad something this week for Father's Day. Get some hankies.
Like, that's
I think
right.
that's such
I
a
love
sweet
a
gift.
Man with a hanky.
I know.
Yeah. Oh, my father always carried
ours
a hanky.
Too.
Yeah.
And I just love that. If I sneezed, he pulled that
he
thing
pulled
out.
He pulled that right out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Yeah. And you can find those at estate sales too, monogrammed. So charming.
Well, this is just almost a glimmer, really, of Laura and her sort of wealth of knowledge she has for things Southern. So what would be a good place for people like to connect with you or to kind of see what you're up to?
Well, I post a lot. I have a YouTube channel, and I've kind of not filmed for a while, I'll tell you the truth.
That's okay.
It's been maybe 6 months. And I have a blog, and I haven't written as much on it either. It's been a couple of months. But I really post all the time on Instagram.
Okay.
So you can find me on Instagram, and my Instagram name is Laura Stockett Roberts.
Okay.
And that's just my full name, Stockett Roberts.
Okay.
And find me on Instagram, and I post things all the time. And sometimes I'll have little stories, Instagram stories about frying okra or...
I love it.
Washing linens. I think I put something about washing linens on my Instagram stories, and I've archived them. So you can see.
Good,
so,
good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, y'all go follow Laura. And
if you're new to her, and read her blog. She's
got some things on there that you're going to see as well. The blog and the YouTube channel are both called Portrait of the South.
I
started hashtagging things on Instagram, Portrait of the South, I think 5 or 6 years ago, because there really is a lot of diversity in the South. And
yes.
I think people assume we're more homogenous than we are. And the South is diverse as pictures, portraits, you know, mm-hmm. just everyone's face. And mm-hmm. we just are far more diverse than people think.
Yes.
So I started hashtagging things like, what is your portrait of the South? You know, like, what is your picture of the South? Like, what do you see? And so I started using that hashtag. And so when I started a YouTube channel, I just named it Portrait of the South. I thought, well, I won't have to think about that. It'll be easy to come up with a name.
That's good.
That's so good.
Well, we like to use a new sign-off that we have created. So I will say to you, Laura, peace be with you. And then Lainey will say...
And also with y'all.
Also with y'all. Oh, my gosh. I love it. Thank you so much for having me. This has been the most fun.
You
oh, my gosh.
You are welcome back to the table for sure.
For
oh,
sure.
I've got lots of thoughts.
All right. Y'all have a good week. We'll see you here next time.
Men, if you're ready to reclaim your edge, listen up. I used to be held back by constant bathroom trips, with multiple wake-ups during my sleep and looking for restrooms whenever I was out. Then I discovered Better Man. After just 2 months, I started experiencing fewer trips to the bathroom, less urge to go, and I even slept through some nights. I feel a noticeable boost in my overall well-being, even sexual stamina. It gives me the freedom and confidence to live life on my terms. Better Man is clinically tested and trusted by thousands of men over 25 years. Ready to take back control? Go to BeBetterNow.com to order your supply today. That's BeBetterNow.com.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed. Individual results may vary.